You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com.
We're approaching the planet Blanchar, one of the deck officers announced. Any minute now, and the planet would be in sight. Finally, this pursuit would come to an end. He would capture the SS Acid Rat, tow it back to Bomda, and make a proper arrest. BT Justice sat in his command chair. He couldn't have been more proud. He pulled a cigar out of the compartment in the arm of his chair.
"Junior," he said kindly, "bring me a drink."
He didn't care if the crew knew. He deserved a celebratory drink. After a momentary thought to allow the crew to join him, he decided it'd be best if they had a party after they were towing the crooks back to Bomda. He didn't even care if they had offloaded already. It wasn't the material he was after. It was the culprits.
"How long till we make landfall?"
"We'll be on the ground in 20 minutes."
"And you have the coordinates of the SS Acid Rat?"
"Yes, sir."
"And it's still on the ground?"
"According to the planet's flight log, yes."
"And how long ago did you check that log?"
"I checked before we left the Munchkata system."
"Check it again. It's been a few hours."
Perhaps it was too soon for that drink. Junior delivered it anyway, and BT Justice took a sip. The taste wasn't right. The drink didn't sit well with the dryness in his mouth. Something was wrong. He could feel it. Even before he heard the news, he put the drink down on one armrest, the cigar on the other, and stood up. Before the news was delivered, he picked up his riding crop.
"Sir?"
the officer said softly. Sheriff Justice put his hands behind his back, puffed up his chest with a deep breath, and turned around.
"Yes?"
"The SS Acid Rat is no longer on Planchar. The ship left about 10 minutes ago."
10 minutes. That wasn't so bad. His frown deepened, and he narrowed his eyes at the officer.
"And you're already pulling up their last known trajectory and course projections and setting up our navigation systems to follow, right?"
It was all he could do to keep from screaming. He was already out on a limb chasing them to Munchkata, and doubly so here in Planchar, a much more populous system. Now the chase was going to continue to yet a third system.
"That is being calculated now, sir."
BT Justice relaxed slightly. A 10-minute head start could mean several light years, but as long as they knew the ship's course, they could follow. What could have prompted them to leave in such a hurry? Surely they couldn't have been alerted to his arrival. They hadn't told anyone where they were. The crew of the SS Acid Rat had outsmarted them once with their multiple trails, but they wouldn't outsmart them a second time. Oh, no, they wouldn't.
"Sir, we have their course projections."
"Are the ship's computers set to follow?"
"I don't know if this is the best place for us to go, sir."
"That's my call to make. Set the course."
"Sir, they're headed to the Rockmu system."
"So what? Get us over there."
"The system has a standing blockade. We'll need to pass through the blockade to get to the radio planet. If we go through the blockade..."
"GCP Central Office will be alerted that we've overstepped our bounds. Is there any way around?"
"Yes, sir, but it'll take twice as long, if not longer, to get there."
"I don't care. Plot the course and take us around that blockade. We'll catch them on radio."
Why were they on their way to radio? The only thing that radio produces as an export is beer. What good would that do them?
"Sir, I've plotted the course. If they're picking up something from Rado, they'll have to go around the blockade to get back to Planchar, if that's where they're going back to."
"Explain."
"The blockade doesn't allow the transport of such beverages, and searches each ship that passes through. They'll have to go around the system. The course we've plotted is the fastest course going around the blockade. They're sure to use the same route."
"Perfect. Get us there now. Perhaps if we're fast enough, we'll catch them while they're still on Rado. Junior!"
Junior picked up the drink from Justice's chair and hustled over with it, spilling some in his haste. There would be plenty of time for more drinks.
"The crew of the SS Acid Rat is going to slip up sooner or later, and I'll be there to tighten the noose. Oh, yes, I'll be there. They aren't going to make a fool out of BT Justice. This little game of cat and mouse, or should I say cat and rat, won't last forever, and the cat always wins."
Once again, the apprehension slinked away after the SS Acid Rat's tail.
"Boss, this is Mike."
Vic took the challenge. Hopefully the boss hadn't heard about the near bungle of the situation.
Mike had spent far too much time with this crew that lying was difficult at best. He didn't like any of them. Did he? He had a job to do, and didn't have time for relationship entanglements. The static from the box started. This confrontation would turn out badly if the boss had heard about what transpired planetside. The boss had only ever wanted reports as to what was going on in the ship. This was the first time in the year Mike had been on the ship he'd been asked to do something else. He did the best he could. What did it matter? Vic had taken the challenge.
Report.
The boss's voice was quiet, but still had that gravelly tone.
Vic took the challenge. We're en route. Is there anything else to report at this time?
Asked the boss in the same quiet tone.
Nothing.
The machine spat static for several seconds and fell silent.
Well, that was strange.
The boss had never been so distant. Usually he would take at least a little time to talk. And what to make of his tone? Was he upset? Distracted? Something else entirely? Without ever having seen the boss's face, Mike could only rely on the man's voice to get a reading on him. But this time he'd spoken so drastically different, Mike wasn't even sure it was the boss at all.
You're getting paranoid, that's all. Just need to proceed as planned. Everything will work out.
Mike closed his eyes and continued to talk to himself. With the communication box hidden in his web, Mike didn't feel comfortable at all. Even after exiting the web, the control room felt constricting.
Are the walls closing in?
The experience of claustrophobia was foreign to Mike. He needed to be outside. He needed to get out of this little room. Even in the cargo hold, the ship felt too small. What to do? Where to go? To ease his nerves, Mike raced up to the ceiling of the ship, planted the base of a web on the wall with his spinners, and dove off the wall.
The plunge down should clear my head. That's all I need. A little air on my face, that's all. I'll be fine, I'll be fine. Just a little air, a little air.
Mike stopped spinning and let the web stretch toward the floor. He took several trips up and down, and he had the beginnings of a web when he was done. Rather than let all that good webbing go to waste, he formed his first full web in the ship's cargo hold. Circling around and around, connecting all of the strands helped him calm down and relax. It had only taken maybe 10 or 15 minutes, but when he finally finished the web, he was exhausted. Mike made his way to the center of the web, tucked his legs in, and closed his eyes. It had to be the pressure of a year without working a job. Oh, he'd worked on the acid rat, sure, but not his line of work.
Am I too rusty for this job?
Mike knew that wasn't the case. He'd done far too much work to let a little thing like time off stop him. Deep breaths and a clear mind, that's all he needed. That was it. Just clear his mind and let his actions dictate. Training would all come back. The boss would give the signal and everything would work out. Mike slept. A thin wisp of smoke wound up from Vic's mouth, through his mustache, across his nose, and dissipated above his head. Argmon was flying, and Vic wasn't needed. Vic's part would come later. Not now. Now he needed to think. Everyone had left the lounge except Joey. The kid just sat and stared at the wall.
What do you think, kid? Vic took another drag off his cigarette.
I think if you keep smoking those, it'll kill you.
The kid had a sense of humor in a crisis. Vic laughed. That's a good one, kid. But like a lot of things, you'll find they've got a pill for everything these days. My dad used to say they'll make a pill to cure everything someday. I guess he was right. These ones aren't even real. They're synthetic, so they don't have all those damaging chemicals Earth cigarettes had.
It's still a bad habit.
Well, I'm not going to discuss my smoking or drinking habits with you, kid. I want to know what you think can be done to get us back to Planchura on time.
Why are you asking me? I didn't even get a good look at the planet.
True, but hey, I'm open to suggestions. Joey scratched his head.
Can you ask for a little more time?
Not hardly. This isn't a regular job. This one is a bet. A challenge. Almo sounded like he was daring me to take it. I just have trouble turning down bushels of money. It's probably my biggest weakness.
What could we use to go faster? Are there any wormholes or anything like that?
What's a wormhole?
Like on Star Trek?
There was never anything like that on Star Trek.
Sure, there was Captain Picard.
You mean Kirk.
Who? Oh, you never saw The Next Generation.
The what?
Never mind. There was a few more Star Trek shows after the 70s, but there's a lot of theory around wormholes.
So, what is it?
It's a sort of tunnel in space. You go in one spot, and you come out the other end instantly, but really far away from where you went in.
Sounds like a nice theory, but out here, there's nothing like that. What else have you got?
I don't know. Can we go closer to those black holes that Tootsie mentioned? To help us speed up, maybe? Black holes warp space, and maybe even warp time, so we could come out the other side faster.
Say what?
Black holes.
I heard you. Tootsie, did you hear what the kid said?
The kid?
Yeah, Joey. Did you hear what he said? Is that possible?
Tootsie beeped and chirped.
The ship isn't equipped to handle the stresses of going near a black hole.
There had to be something there. The kid was onto something. What about the neutron star? Its gravity isn't as strong as a black hole.
The SS Acid Rat isn't designed for such things. It's designed to haul, not explore.
Kid, I really thought you were onto something there.
Vic slumped back into his chair. Maybe something would come to him later in the trip. He'd taken this challenge, and he would figure this out. The solution eluded him. But he always found a way. He would this time, too.
Joey ran a hand through his moppy hair. So, Vic, what do you think we should do?
Vic laughed involuntarily.
Kid, if I knew that, I wouldn't be asking you. So hey, how are you getting along? I never asked.
I'm still having a tough time dealing with all this. I don't know if I'll ever get the hang of it. Still feels like some weird dream that I'm going to wake up from at any moment.
Me and June got over all that. You will too. It's really not such a big deal.
Not such a big deal? I'm thousands of years in the future in outer space. Just a couple of days ago I was at home trying to listen to Iron Butterfly. Now I'm flying around the galaxy on a beer run? What's your idea of a big deal?
Joey had nudged little by little as he ranted until he was sitting on the very edge of his seat, waving his hands in the air. It was quite comical, but Vic refrained from laughing. Instead of responding, Vic got up and got himself a beer. A smoke and a beer. That's what he needed. He turned and tossed the beer to Joey and fetched another.
You see, kid, it's like this. At no point during your time on the ship has your life been in danger.
Vic snuffed out his cigarette.
You get easily riled up. You're quick to fly off the handle. That's immaturity.
What?
Joey sounded offended.
Vic tried to backpedal. Look, what I'm saying is your reactions are because you're out of your element. This is all new to you. June was all jumpy when she first got here, too. Hell, I wasn't in any condition to handle where I wound up. Who could be? I had a dog thing help me out, and I had to figure out what he was saying. At least you've got a couple people here you can talk to.
Joey stood up.
What kind of a jerk are you?
Hey, I'm trying to help you out here. See what I mean about you getting all worked up over little things?
Joey huffed and dropped the beer on the floor.
I'll leave you alone so you can figure out how to get out of this mess you got yourself into.
Joey walked out of the lounge.
This is your problem, too.
So weak, Vic, you idiot. Here he was, trying to help the kid out and get him adjusted to the situation, and all he'd done is get another crew member mad. At least the rest weren't mad at him, but somehow it hurt more knowing that the two people who were mad at him were from his home planet. Did he just get along better with aliens? He lowered himself into a seat and cracked the beer. As he reached for another cigarette, June's voice squawked over the con.
Vic, you've got to get down to the cargo bay. You've got to see what Mike did.
What did he do?
Her tone betrayed her annoyance.
Just get down here.
Great. He needed time to relax and figure this out. He didn't need to be getting distracted. Not now. How bad could Mike's timing be to pull something random? He was strange and did stuff once in a while, but he'd always done it when things were slow, not when they were pressed for time.
Vic stopped at the ladder, looking down into the cargo hold. June, Joey, Jupnop, and Dexter were on the floor, looking up at the far corner of the bay. They were looking at Mike on a web. An incredibly massive web.
Bad timing, Mike. Really bad timing to go and pull something like this. Huge. That's all June could think. Huge. Mike created a massive web all in a matter of minutes. She'd known him for a year, and he'd never done anything this big. Sure, he had that little web back in his engineering room, and all the little webbing across the ceilings, but those didn't come close comparing to this full-blown spider web. She had trouble imagining Mike actually catching and eating something from it. Mike had always eaten with the rest of the crew, and done so in relative politeness. He didn't even have fangs like normal spiders. Of course, Vic's standard response when Mike did things a little out of the ordinary went something like, "You know, Mike, he's a little bit off-kilter." This fit the bill for off-kilter, no doubt about that. The cargo bay stood nearly 200 feet tall, and Mike dangled precariously, or so it looked, in his web. He looked like he was asleep, or in some sort of a trance.
"What the hell did he do?"
Vic asked. June started. She hadn't heard Vic approach.
"He built a web."
"I see that."
Vic stared up at the rest, and his tone showed his amazement.
"How do we get him down?"
"Leave it to Vic.
You're the captain. You figure it out."
She wanted to turn and leave, but she also wanted to see how Vic was going to deal with this situation. All right, I guess I'll shake him down. If that doesn't work, we'll have to shoot the web out from under him.
Vic!
I'm kidding. Vic shrugged and shook his head innocently at Joey.
It's creeping me out, June said. Just get him down.
Vic took several slow steps toward the web. He stamped his foot on the floor and watched for a response from Mike. There was none. When he got closer to one of the web strands on the floor, he gave it a quick poke and jumped back. Still, no response.
He's a big spider and probably waiting for big prey. Give it a good shake.
Vic turned around and laughed. Yeah, right. What if I get stuck?
All the better, June smiled wickedly at him.
Vic's jovial laughter changed to stressed. He returned to the task and gripped the web strand with both hands. Taking a deep breath, he shook the web violently. Back and forth he shook it. June looked up, and Mike still hadn't moved. Not yet. Then, all at once, his eyes snapped open, and he plunged to the floor with frightening speed. With his mouth wide open, it was easy to see the retractable fangs pop down like massive daggers. Vic still shook the web.
Get out of there! June yelled. Why wasn't he moving? Oh, God!
Vic's hands were stuck fast. He wasn't going to get out of the way. Mike had flipped out, and he was going to eat Vic.
Help get this thing off me!
There wasn't any time to react. None at all. By the time any of them could react, Mike reached Vic and clung to Vic's back. For the first time since she'd met Vic, she heard him scream, and for the first time in her life, she felt sorry for him.
Being eaten alive, what a horrible way to die.
She did the only thing she could do, yell,
Mike, get off him! That's Vic! Don't bite him, Mike! Stop!
Vic's body slackened and fell to the floor, his hands still stuck to the web.
He's dead. Oh, God, he's dead. He's dead. And Mike killed him. There's a killer on the ship. What are we going to do?
Mike wheeled around, his eyes wide and yellow. Crimson and yellowish venom dripped from his fangs. He snorted twice, twitched nervously, then launched himself. June gasped. He was coming at her.
Eep, eep, eep.
A blur shot from the side, and Mike fell to the floor. Dexter stood over Mike's body. June's breath came in short gasps.
What happened?
Vic was down. Mike was down. What to do next? Vic always made the decisions. He knew what to do.
The robot. SPX-39, come to the cargo bay, now!
And what to do with Vic?
Tootsie, is there any anti-venom on the ship? Vic's been bitten by Mike!
A click and a whir. There is no anti-venom on board. We'll have to put Vic in a stasis field. That will keep the venom from spreading.
Tootsie, put Vic in a stasis shield and redirect our course for the nearest system with anti-venom, and put Mike in a stasis field until we can figure out what to do with him.
Are you sure Vic wants to redirect the ship?
Tootsie, I'm in command now that Vic is out.
Isn't Argmon the second in command?
Tootsie, just do it. Argmon would want to do the same.
Argmon howled agreement from the ship's bridge.
Course change for the Veneno system. We'll arrive there in 1 hour.
Vic's going to be pissed. He's got that bet and we don't have any time to waste.
Tootsie, is there a system closer to where we're going, or one on the way? The Veneno system is along our path.
Perfect. Thank you.
June knelt down and hugged Dexter.
And thank you.
Eep, eep, eep.
A shimmer appeared over both Vic and Mike. The stasis field would keep them both contained and safe until they landed. Jupnop inspected the fields with branch-like protrusions. Its green body had mostly disappeared, and it used a pair of branches to move itself along. June didn't know which was creepier, the green slime version of Jupnop or this.
Joey, why don't you...
June turned around and saw Joey flat on the ground. She thought she felt his consciousness disappear.
This is a habit you're going to have to break if you're going to make it on this crew.
Several clanks rattled across the floor. SPX-39 came to a stop in front of June.
You called?
Take Joey up and put him in a rack. He needs some rest. Then come back down here and keep an eye on Vic and Mike, and make sure they don't go anywhere. If they do, come and let me know straight away.
What happened?
June decided not to tell the robot. Its paranoia could be contagious, and she didn't need anything going wrong. Anything more than had already gone wrong. It looked like they weren't going to be getting paid this time around.
Tootsie, signal ahead and make sure we can get a doctor and anti-venom as soon as we land.
Vic only had a little bit of time for this run, and if anyone could figure out how to get back on time, it was Vic. He'd gotten them out of several tight spots before. They were all his fault, of course, but he was good. She had to give him that. She just hoped they'd make it out of this one. Joey sat up and banged his head against the upper bunk's metal frame and fell back down.
Joey, are you awake?
June asked from another bunk.
No, I always bump my head and curse in my sleep.
He shouldn't have snapped at her like that. She'd been so nice to him since he'd been here. He just wasn't handling the situation as well as he thought he might be able to. The worst part was he discovered he was prone to passing out under duress. That sucked. June must think him such a wimp. June's face appeared from the top bunk.
Did you stay awake long enough to see what happened to Vic?
That's right. Mike. The big spider thing had bitten Vic. Maybe even killed him.
Yes? You've been out for a long time. A few hours. We've already stopped and gotten the antivenom for Vic. He's still out cold.
Did a doctor see him?
We didn't have time to stop and see a doctor. I know Vic put a lot on the line for this, and we just stopped and got it. I think we're only about 15 minutes off schedule. Argmon made great time stopping and getting us back on course.
Joey leaned up on one arm. His face got closer to June's than he intended. He scooted back slightly. June frowned.
So, how is he?
He's still out.
What about this trip we're taking? Can he handle it?
The person I got the antivenom from said it'd be a few hours before we'd see improvement. He's got to pull out of this and soon. We're only about 30 minutes from Rado. He needs to wake up and take care of this.
Why can't Argmon take care of it?
This is his deal. He's the captain of the ship. That's his job.
Can't you pose as the captain and just take care of it? Who's going to know?
Do I look like Vic? The ship's manifest is broadcast to the planet before we land. They'll know what's going on.
So just get Tootsie to change it. Didn't Vic do that before?
June mulled the idea over for a moment.
Let's go check on Vic. If he doesn't wake up in the next 15 minutes, we'll do just that. I just feel weird making myself captain of the SS Acid Rat with Vic incapacitated.
Joey got up and followed June out of the sleeping quarters.
Someone's got to do it. Argmon will only scare people we deal with. Who better to do it?
June stopped and put her hand on Joey's shoulder.
Thanks, Joey.
Joey couldn't help but flush. June's touch felt good. He'd never had a girl, let alone a woman, be so nice to him. What a change from Earth.
Sure thing. Let's go check on Vic.
June's smile faded, and she turned and sighed.
Yeah, let's.
Vic's lifeless body had been laid out in the kitchen. His face was pallid and sweaty. Either side of his neck had been heavily bandaged, and spots of red soaked through. Until this moment, Joey had almost thought of Vic as invincible. Stupid thought. No one is invincible. Seeing Vic like this ran the point home. The only other person in the room was Dexter, who stood vigilant over Vic's body. His three independently blinking eyes looked fretful.
"Isn't there anything else we can do for him right now?"
Joey asked as he sat on the bench next to Vic, but far enough away from Dexter.
"Nope. It's a waiting game now."
June fixed two glasses of steaming liquid. She offered one to Joey.
"What's this?"
"Don't ask. One thing you'll learn out here is that the less you know about what you put in your mouth, the better. If it smells good and tastes good, eat it or drink it." The liquid's black surface swirled and streaked. A sniff reminded him of solder flux, but in a good way. It didn't sting or burn. A sip and his tongue came to life. The metallic taste was a pleasant surprise. When he swallowed, his entire insides warmed.
"This is good. Thanks."
June only smiled and took a sip of her own.
"Eep, eep, eep."
June looked at Vic.
"June,"
Vic said weakly.
"June, I need a hangover pill. Quick."
June stood up and hovered over Vic's face. Her smile fled and she spoke matter-of-factly to Vic.
"It's not a hangover. Mike bit you."
Vic opened his eyes. His green eyes were no longer green. The pigment from his eyes had been replaced by a steely gray.
"Bit?"
"Yes. I told you Mike was trouble when you brought him onto this ship. Do you remember what you told me?"
"Mike's just a little off kilter. He's not any danger."
"That's exactly what you told me. Now what do you think?" Vic closed his eyes. He looked like he was sleeping, but he still spoke.
"He didn't mean to do it. Mike's not a bad guy."
"You stubborn idiot. Is Mike going to have to kill you before you accept that he's dangerous?"
"Why do my shoulders hurt so bad?"
"I told you. Mike bit you."
"With what?"
"His teeth. Are you paying attention?" Joey put his hand on June's shoulder.
"He's delirious."
June pulled away and left the room. Vic took a haggard breath.
"Kid, what happened?"
"It's like June just told you. Mike built that strange web."
"No."
Vic's eyes snapped open and he lurched forward. His scream brought June back into the kitchen.
"What happened?"
she asked, frantic.
I don't know. He just..."
June pushed him away. Her touch, so tender just a few moments ago, pained him. Sure, Vic was hurt, but he'd get better. Vic had already adjusted to this place. Seeing June and Vic from the corner of the room, Joey felt alone. Very alone. Nothing but a third wheel. Why did he ever push that button? Why?
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.